So as I was preparing for today's homily and just kind of praying through what the Lord was asking me to preach about, it became very clear that He wanted me to preach about something very controversial: fatherhood. Since when has fatherhood become something controversial? Well, and I guess in 2024, when, you know, Harrison Butker is crucified for having the audacity to mention that a woman could find fulfillment in a vocation as a wife and mother, and God forbid, as a homemaker. That's the world we live in. And so in that context, yeah, fatherhood is also controversial. And not just fatherhood in general, but the belief that we hold that a father is, or at least should be, the spiritual head of a household. That's not commonly agreed with in our culture today. But before I get into some of the more heavy stuff, I guess, I figured in honor of Father's Day, I'd share with you a dad joke. I'll limit myself to one. It's this: at what point does a joke become a dad joke? When it becomes apparent. You're welcome. You're free to use that one, okay? So, okay, but fatherhood, the concept or the idea of fatherhood. As I was reading through the gospel today, the line that you've all heard it 1,000 times before, it's nothing new, but that line, Jesus is asking, what can I compare the kingdom of God with? What parable can I use for it? It's like a mustard seed sown in the ground. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it springs up, it blossoms, becomes the largest of plants, puts forth branches, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its shade. You've all heard that 1,000 times. The idea of faith being a small kernel, a small seed, then it grows beyond that. But what about faith, particularly the faith of a father? What effect does the faith of a father have on his family? And I'm curious, I bet if the dads in the church today were to be honest, how many of you have felt inadequate as the spiritual leader of your family? You feel like your faith is little tiny seed, and you look at your wife or sometimes even your kids, and you see their faith is so far, it seems so much far beyond what you have, and how can you possibly hope to lead your family spiritually? And yet, that small mustard seed of faith is called to be the shield, the branches that provide shade, that provides protection, that provides shelter, a shield for those entrusted to your care, no matter how inadequate you might feel. The idea and the concept of fatherhood is very, very central to the Christian faith. There's a reason why God chose to manifest and reveal himself as a father. Throughout the story of the Old Testament, fathers and father figures, you know, the faith of our fathers, the fathers of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all these figures over and over and over again come up, and they play a huge role in the story of salvation history. And not that mothers don't have a role, but for some reason, God has chosen to manifest himself as a father. The last 7 years previous to coming here to St. Peter's, I was a high school chaplain, right? Taught a couple thousand kids, or maybe a little bit more than that, during my time as a chaplain. And I can tell you, the evidence of students who have fathers who are invested in their lives and students who don't. And the statistics, over and over and over, those statistics would bear that out as true. But this is something that we don't really talk about that much in the Catholic Church. The idea or the concept that fathers have the ability to bless or to curse their own children. We don't really think about that all that much, but it is absolutely a matter of truth that fathers can either bless or curse their own children because they have authority over them. What does that look like to either bless or to curse your children? A lot of times it happens and we don't even know, we don't realize, we don't understand what's going on. It's not like it's explicitly intended, but it certainly has the consequence of either being a blessing or a curse. Here's what a curse looks like from the mouth of a father. You will never amount to anything. You are an embarrassment. I wish you had never been born. The problems in our family are your fault. We would be better off without you. Why can't you do anything right? Or the father who takes his 10-year-old son and said, "All right, son, it's time to be a man. Here's a stack of dirty magazines." Condemning a child to decades of enslavement, decades of trying to break free from addiction, because that's what a man does. Those words coming from a father cut to the very soul of a child. It's like taking a brick and setting it on top of a flower. And you can a flower overcome that? Yeah, and maybe you've seen it where you lay a brick out in the yard and the grass or the flower, it grows around to the side and then eventually comes up and sprouts. But if you remove that brick and you look, you can see the stem has been damaged and twisted and it's been broken, and that flower has to work 10 times harder just to get to a point where it can bloom and blossom than a flower that hasn't been that way. That is what it's like when a father curses his children. What's it look like when a father blesses his kids? Is it really possible that a father can bless his own children? Yes. Remember the story of Jacob and Esau from the Old Testament? The twin brothers and their father, Isaac, was supposed to give the blessing to Esau, the older brother, and Isaac kind of tricked his dad into giving him the blessing. He put the sheepskin on his arms, and his dad thought he was giving the blessing to Esau, but he actually gave the blessing to Jacob. But the point of the story, one of the many points, is that fathers have a blessing to give. But we're never really taught that. That's not really something that we explicitly hear. When's the last time you heard from a pulpit that a father has the ability to actually bless his children? I can tell you, one of the most intimate moments of my life, of my relationship with my own dad, is when I asked for his blessing the day before I was ordained a deacon. And I simply knelt down and I asked him to pray for me. And we were both crying and tears and all snot and the whole nine yards. But he prayed a blessing over me. Not a priestly blessing, not like an ordained priest, but the blessing of a father blessing his son. Fathers have a blessing to bestow, and it can be withheld. What does that look like when a father blesses his son? I would point you to the Heavenly Father, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River. God the Father modeled the blessing of a son. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The Father blessing his son. That is the model right there. And when a father tells his son or his daughter, "I love you. You are precious to me. I am so proud of you. I'm so glad that God gave you to me to be your father." Those words, it's like fertilizing a flower. Kids are not that complicated. They're really not. One of the greatest desires of any child is simply to be seen, to be known, to be acknowledged, to know and to believe, to understand that they are delighted in. And both for mothers and for fathers, to simply allow your kids to know that you delight in them. Doesn't cost a dime. And yet we spend so much time and effort and energy and money trying to give our kids better than we had. I want them to have bigger vacations and go to Disneyland every year and to have bigger boats and all. Like, no, we miss the point. Children simply need to know that you delight in them to flourish. And that's why the dirt floor sod houses of Western Kansas had a place of wholeness that big mansions in Hollywood lack. Again, the statistics will bear out. I mean, look it up. The consequences of fatherlessness. Kids who are from abusive or abusive homes with an abusive father are 4 times more likely to end up in and stay in an abusive relationship as an adult. Kids that have no father, 75% of long-term lifetime incarceration, 75% of murderers and those who are lifetime incarcerated, 75% of them had no father figure in their home. I remember hearing a story about one prison that for Mother's Day, they went to Hallmark and they asked for greeting cards. And they had this kind of special program. Hallmark donated 600 greeting cards to this prison. And all these prisoners filled them out, sent them to their moms for Mother's Day. Smash success, huge success. And so they thought, you know what, we're going to do this. We're going to try this again for Father's Day. And same thing, Hallmark donated another 600 cards for Father's Day. Guess how many were sent out? Not a single one. Perhaps the greatest tragedy of fatherlessness is the effect that it has on faith. Because God has chosen to manifest himself as a father, not as a brother, not as a mother, not as a grandma, an uncle, a cousin, a boss, an employee. He chose to reveal himself as a father. And he chose, for whatever reason, to take these broken men and make them the model, the image that we get to learn about him, for better or for worse. The whole reason Jesus came to earth, yes, he came to save us and redeem us from our sins, to die on the cross. But you listen to what Jesus said. Why did he come? What was his mission? What was his point? To reveal the Father. Jesus' whole ministry, he kept directing us back to God the Father. I have come to reveal the Father. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you have seen the Son, you have seen the Father. But the whole point is to direct us back to God the Father. And many Christians, we stop in our relationship, in our spiritual life. We pray to Jesus and we have a relationship with Jesus, which is excellent. That's great. But it's not supposed to stop there. It's supposed to go from Jesus all the way to the Father. But if you've had a terrible father, an absent father, an abusive father, that's really hard. I remember when I was in St. Paul, Minnesota, I was assigned there as a seminarian, and I went to one of the parishes just on a regular Sunday mass, and Catholic church, right? Just random Catholic church I picked, and the entire congregation did not pray the Our Father during Mass. They changed the word. Our God who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Because Father apparently is offensive. And maybe Jesus didn't know what he was talking about, I guess. And I don't know how many people I've encountered in my priesthood who will say, I mean, they could be 70, 80 years old. I can't pray to God the Father. Because my dad was such a terrible man. The way he abandoned our family. The way he abused my mother. The way he fill in the blank. How could I possibly hope to pray to God the Father? I can't do that. Brothers and sisters, a good father, he's supposed to shield his family. Like the mustard seed of his faith becomes the branches that shelter those entrusted to his care. It's like an umbrella, you know? If there's acid rain raining down from the sky on a family, a father's faith is supposed to work like an umbrella that shields his family. But when it's not there, it's kind of like an umbrella that gets inverted in the wind. You know how it flips upside down? And instead of being a shelter, a shield, it becomes a funnel that collects all of that acid rain, and it's the channel that drops it down on his own kids. It's exactly what happened with Adam, who watched Eve have this dialogue with the devil, and he did not do his role. He did not protect her. He stood there, twiddled his thumbs with trembling, shaking knees, and just allowed her to fall. And the effect of that has been felt ever since then. So, on Father's Day, I realize this is this is a heavy one. But if you have a good father, if you have a good father figure, praise the Lord, the uncles, the grandpas, the stepdads who have stepped in to fulfill that role, it's crucial, it's important. Mothers and fathers are not interchangeable, no matter what the culture tries to tell us. If you've had that man step into your life in that role, be grateful. Even in his brokenness, even in his weakness, even with all the imperfections, be grateful. Pray for him today. Whether he's here or whether he's passed on, lift him up in prayer. And if that's not been your experience, I would still ask you to pray for your father, to begin the process of forgiving him for the ways he didn't let you know that you were valuable, the ways he wasn't or couldn't be emotionally available to you. That forgiveness is necessary to enter into heaven. You cannot bring that with you into heaven. It can't happen. And it affects your relationship with God the Father more than you probably realize. So on this Father's Day, we thank our dads, we pray for them. We also lift them up, that they can be that pillar of faith, the bedrock of faith on Christ himself. We thank the Lord for our fathers.